Tonic Talk is a weekly dose of inspiration and encouragement from the Tonic Health family and friends on topics such as mental health and well-being. Funded by the National Lottery Communities Fund. I'm Amber Sinclair, and I'll be your weekly host, taking you on a voyage of discovery and inspiration, exploring a wide range of mental health and well-being subjects with weekly guests who will share with us their advice, their knowledge, and maybe some ideas on the day-to-day issues we're all facing in a post-pandemic world. I'm Amber Sinclair. I'm a musician, a teacher, and a single mum, and I have a degree in performing arts. I pursued a career in the arts until I had my son, George, and now I teach instruments and singing locally. I've just started the Rock School Bus project that will take music experiences to the young people in isolated rural areas of South Lincolnshire, providing some much-needed life back into the communities. But for now, I'm your host. I'm not an expert, but I have suffered with poor mental health in my past, and I work every day on my well-being. So I'm hoping to learn something from our guests, and I'm passionate about reaching out so that no one feels alone in their struggle. Because life is tough, particularly right now. But perhaps this podcast will help someone, somehow. So this is our very first Tonic Talk podcast, and this week our guests are Laura and Ruth from Spalding Safe Places. First guests are Ruth and Laura from Tonic Health Safe Places. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do? Because although I know of the place, obviously you guys are working it all the time and have been over the last 12 months. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
So Safe Places comes under is one of the Tonic Health projects. Tonic Health is a health and wellbeing charity in Spalding. Safe Places has been supporting people with mental health problems for nearly 5 years now. And up until March last year, when we went into lockdown, we ran a weekly meeting group, which was for people just to get together with people who had lived experience of mental health problems, to have a laugh and just chat together. We used to play silly games and quizzes. But obviously, lockdown changed all of that. So we had to move from a meeting group to telephone support. So everybody within the group got weekly contact from ourselves just to check in to see how they were doing. In May, we were awarded a contract through the NHS, and the doors to many more people coming to Safe Places. In March, Laura, did we hit our centenary?
Yes, at the beginning of March, we hit our support number of 100, so we support 100 people. It's now up to 103.
That was the beginning of March this year?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So okay. Brilliant, because we support people in, you know, all, from all different backgrounds, from the age ranges from about 18 to 86. Yeah. So it's a really good mixture of...
Yeah, lots of different types of people that...
It's a really good mix of people.
It's a really good mix of people with all different backgrounds, with all different issues, with all of...
Different experiences, I guess, different backgrounds.
Yeah, different experiences, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that people are having to deal with lockdown is the loneliness and isolation. So yeah. Many of our clients are on their own. They might not see or speak to anybody from week to week. So just that check-in phone call just to say, hi, how's it going? You know, just want to make sure that you're okay. We've got a whole host of support and helpline numbers, which we make sure that people have. Because people have lost partners in this time and are grieving. So normally there would be a support network of family and friends around them to support them, and they're doing this on their own. So having that support that they can phone is vital. We literally, those 103 people have had weekly phone calls. So myself, Laura, and a team about, well, up to eight, haven't we? Yeah. Have been phoning people every week.
Fab. And what was their normal sort of contact with you guys during the week when you were meeting? How many times did you sort of meet?
In terms of what, the staff or?
In terms of the people that you support. Yeah, no, the people that you support before the pandemic, how many times would they on average meet in a week?
Before lockdown, we would meet weekly. Okay. And then we had a Sunday lunch once a month where we would all go out for a meal on a Sunday afternoon. But through the group, people knew each other. They'd swap phone numbers. They made friends. They used to meet up outside the group. But it was literally just a weekly meeting group with a sort of dedicated core of members. But obviously that has changed dramatically. And what the telephone calls have allowed us to do is not only just to connect with people in our community, and we cover all of South Holland, down from Sutton Bridge, Market Deeping and parts of Bourne. But it's enabled us with groups that have slowly started to come back, socially distanced, is to actually introduce new people to the group. So we've now got people who were receiving phone calls who are now coming into the building and actually meeting people face to face, which is incredibly important.
For the first time possibly since their mental health journey began.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It's about forming connections with people that are all in the same boat, that have all been going through issues with their mental health that have magnified during lockdown. And it's to, you know, get to know people that are in the same position that you find a connection with, and you can form friendships. And that's the main thing. It's about not being alone, not feeling isolated.
I was going to say, how do you think those people managed before your group? What would they be facing on a day-to-day basis?
In terms of their specific mental health problems?
Yeah, in terms of, I just remember just from my own background, I didn't know of any places. I possibly wasn't looking because of the state of my mental health, but it was so isolating. And are these people, are there other supports out there? Are there NHS support out there? Or is what you're guys doing kind of really unique to the area?
So some of the people who come to group and who we support have connections with mental health support through the NHS. So are either under the care of the community mental health team or are accessing talking therapies through Steps to Change. For a lot of our clients, they're not accessing those services. So the support that we're able to offer really is quite unique in terms of we're not offering counselling, we're not there to provide them advice and guidance. We're there actually to just say, we understand it, we get it. You know, we understand how anxiety makes you feel on a day-to-day basis. And I'm not talking about that anxiety that everybody feels, that's a natural feeling. I'm talking about anxiety that paralyzes you, that stops you leaving the house, that, you know, just prevents you from living day to day, a normal life. And, you know, that depression where you can't face getting up in the morning, where it all just, everything just seems to be crushingly difficult. And it's about saying to those people, you are not alone. We get it. Both Laura and I have had our own struggles with poor mental health, and everybody within the group comes, has that lived experience. I think the biggest thing that I would say is there is no judgment. So no matter your background, no matter what your mental health diagnosis might be, you might not even have a diagnosis. Nobody is sat there judging you. It's about acceptance. And, you know, when I go into a group and I might just sort of sit back and just listen to people talking. You know, the conversations yesterday, two guys that had never met before, they came to a light lunch, different ages, they started talking, and one of them happened to say, oh, what do you do? He said, oh, I love fishing, says the other guy. And immediately they're into a conversation. Now, had these guys not met at Safe Places, they may never have come into contact with each other.
So it's those positive connections. So acceptance and connection, I think, are fantastic words, you know, because that is what you need when you're struggling with poor mental health, isn't it? You just need someone to say it's okay, for want of a better phrase, it's okay not to be okay. And I get it a bit, and then I can perhaps alleviate some of that strain on you, because I do understand to a certain degree. So what's your background? What are your backgrounds then? What's brought you to Safe Places?
Where do we start? You go first, Laura.
Like Ruth touched upon, like, I've had my struggles with depression and feeling lonely and feeling undervalued and not appreciated in society. So it's just about connecting with people and understanding what they're feeling, and you can sympathize and really get to the root of why you feel like this, because you feel like you've got nobody to talk to, you feel like nobody will understand. And this is why I love working at Safe Places, because we meet people every day that have those issues, and you can sympathize with them and understand them and let them have a voice and let them be heard, so they feel valued and they feel related and don't feel outcast because they've got these problems, because everybody goes through it, everybody in the whole world, nobody unscathed in any kind of mental illness. So it's just lovely to be a part of something that can help people.
So this is purely from your personal experience that you sort of fell into this position. Did you study psychology, or was it something that's always interested you, or is it just because of your personal experience?
Can I just step in, because Laura won't say this herself. Laura only started working with me in September, but it feels like she's always been here. And she's somebody that I've known. She grew up with my daughter, so I've known her for many years. And it's not her background,
right,
but I just a good fit for Safe Places. And right, she is. Neither of us have formal qualifications in psychology or counselling, because that's not the service that we offer.
We
to offer people a distraction in the week where they can, you know, be with friends or be on the phone with Z and just have a chat about, you know, how their week's been and any plans that they might have for the weekend. But it's, I think what we bring to the table is that we both have that lived experience, and it's that lived experience that helps us to connect with our members and just enable us to put, you know, we walk in their shoes because we've done it. And I mean, for myself, I was severely mentally ill. I had a breakdown in a very stressful job. I hadn't worked for 10 years before I started working for Tonic Health. I've been with Tonic Health for 2.5 years now. And my life has completely turned around. You know, it's just, I've had an amazing journey, and I think that in the highlight for me is for those people to walk into a room, just to hear people talking, or to have somebody that we've been supporting with telephone contacts who've actually phoned to say, look, I've really got a lot out of this, but actually I don't feel I need phone calls anymore. And that's because we've supported them through the journey, through the time that they needed, and they feel well enough to be able to say, thank you, I'm okay, I'm all right with the knowledge and understanding that at any time they can come back to us. But that to us is not a loss. That's a win. But not everybody's in that position. And, you know, there is no time limit on people being part of safe places in terms of groups. And if we end up having five groups because we can't fit anybody, enough people in the room, then that would definitely be, that would be a huge, huge win.
Because you know
that's what our aim would be.
Because you know that there are much more than 103 people in the close community of South Holland and beyond that
absolutely
that could benefit from it.
Yeah.
And how do you reach them? I mean, say, you know, if somebody's listening to this podcast, they'll be, you know, probably over the moon that there's something somewhere that they can go, you know, it is exactly that, a safe place. But what if, how are you going to try and get to those people that haven't already heard of safe places?
So through social media, we've got a lot more, sort of social media activity, so reaching out reaching people through Facebook and Instagram. Laura's the Instagram queen. I'm not one for
we're just too old for it, that's the trouble.
Really like but it's also through we've got a website, Tonic Health, and people can just phone in and refer, self-refer, so you don't have to come through an organisation. Statutory services refer, social services, community mental health. We also work closely with the social prescribers and care coordinators within GP practices. But it's amazing where people come from. One of our volunteers works at a local store, and she tell people, you should get in touch with my friend Ruth. So it's amazing how people have come through to safe places.
And it's quite a small community, isn't it, where that's concerned?
It is.
Most people are only 6 degrees of separation from somebody who lives in the same road or goes to the same school or whatever. So word of mouth, I suppose, is really important for you guys. Just talking about it.
Yeah. And if you've got, you know, if you've got somebody who 2 miles down, they come to safe places and they talk to somebody and say, oh, you know, I go to this group, would you be interested? You know, again, it's that word of mouth. And I think word of mouth is actually more powerful than all the advertising. We flood Spalding with leaflets and the majority of them end up in the recycling. Whereas that contact with people who then pass the message on to other people that have had positive connections and contacts, then that's you know, that's a huge way of us connecting with the wider community.
Sure. And what would you say to somebody who was perhaps a little reluctant to come along? Because I suppose if it was me, I might be thinking there might be somebody there who's, you know, quite maybe emotionally quite volatile, or, you know, quite scared being amongst people that have got, you know, genuine mental health problems, and actually I'm just feeling a bit down at the moment. What would you say to them?
We can always start with the telephone connect will continue. So I would always say to people, look, if you're not sure about coming to a group, then why don't you start having a weekly telephone call? Because at least then, even though you're not putting a face to an organisation or a name, you're speaking to people. We're also, once lockdown is eased, we're recruiting volunteers to be community connectors. And the aim of a community connector will be to actually meet somebody in their own community. So it might be a local store that's got a coffee shop, or it might be a branded coffee shop. We won't advertise them, but it could be a branded coffee shop where they meet somebody for a coffee and they can sit
and have a chat for an hour and, you know, make that human connection. Okay. So there, if people don't feel ready to join a group, and groups are not for everybody at the end of the day, that doesn't always suit people. But if we can find other ways to connect, either through the community connectors, through the telephone connect, the other way that we reach out to people is through our virtual cafe, which is via Zoom, and that runs every Tuesday. And that gives people a chance to connect with the group, but in a more anonymous way. So if you don't feel comfortable, you just want to join, but you just want to be, you want to sort of watch and see what's going on to get a feel for the group. We don't say you have to have your camera on or you have to have your audio on. They will still be welcomed and they can just get a feel of the group, and hopefully in time that they will feel more confident. So there are different ways of people connecting in with Safe Places.
Yeah, and
the meeting groups are one of the things that we can offer people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to me, it's been fascinating with the lockdown how accessible other people seem to be now, because you can, it is quite normal to video someone and have that conversation that way, you know, to Zoom it. Is this something that you believe should be carried on as part of the Safe Places provision, the Zoom cafe, for
example? It will continue.
It will.
It will continue. Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, it's great if you live in Spalding or if you've got transport and you can come to a meeting. But, you know, if people can't come into town, then the virtual path is a great way for people to connect. So that will continue in addition to the other things that we're offering. We don't foresee that will stop. I think it's something else that we can offer people.
Yeah, because of the pandemic.
And that's the important thing. Yeah, it's come out because I'd never even heard of Zoom.
No, me neither.
Pre-March 2020. And, you know, so huge number of people, but it's grown steadily. We have between sort of 12, 14 people every Tuesday, which is a good number of people. And if the Messenger, Zoom, meeting groups, that people can make those connections and start to build friendships. That's where the loneliness and isolation will ease, because they're you know, seeing people, they're phoning people, they're texting people. Then I think the biggest thing is they're not alone. Mm. That's what you suddenly realise, that actually for the last year or 9 months, you've sat home thinking, is it just me? No, it isn't. Thousands, millions of people feel like that.
And I suppose pre-pandemic, there were many people that felt that way about their lives and about their situation. The pandemic's kind of put us all in the same boat in a way, hasn't it?
Very much so.
Sort of evened up the you know, the isolation, as it were. I mean, obviously, you've got larger families that live together. But Laura, I just want to ask you, just because you are that bit younger, how do you think this experience from having, you know, Zoom, having, you know, young people that are now feeling like the traditionally maybe older people, you know, locked away, it's not fair, I'm unable to do this, I'm unable to do that because, you know, because of the pandemic. How do you feel that maybe the experiences that they've been through in the last 12 months, but also what you offer in terms of Zoom, in terms of phone calls, how do you think that might connect with maybe younger people than you traditionally would have had at Safe Places?
Well, obviously, like you touched upon, everybody has been in the same boat. And I think for people of my generation and the younger generation, they can now see what it's like for the older generation that are, you know, that haven't got a lot of family, that are really isolated on their own. So that makes them more aware of how, you know, your elderly next door neighbour might be feeling, to go and check on them to make sure they're okay, to have a conversation with them so they don't feel like they're alone. And it's just, I think the whole pandemic has brought that to the forefront of, you know, people being by themselves and how much that affects your mental health and how much that affects your confidence. And so it's so important that everybody really looks out for everybody else, no matter how old they are, you know, just saying, are you okay? Do you need anything? It's just putting people in that frame of mind that this situation has made everybody realize how important it is to have somebody to talk to you know, to have a connection with, to have a friendship with.
And you don't have to be alone.
To the younger people.
Yeah, you don't have to be alone. There's always somebody there that's willing to listen to you. And there's always somebody there that's willing to give you the opportunity to tell your story.
And do you think you being...
But Laura...
Sorry, I was just going to say to Laura, do you think you being part... Now, you've come towards the team, you've come to join the team at Safe Places. Do you appreciate how integral that can be, that how important your role can be as a younger person? I hope you value that, you know, and I'm sure Ruth and the other members of your team do. You know, what would you say to somebody who was your age and suffering in a relationship they didn't want to be in, or, you know, to get them into Safe Places? What could you say to encourage them to come in? It's not just about others. It is about the young people as well.
Yeah. And the platforms that we use, obviously, with Zoom and with Messenger and with WhatsApp, makes that easier for people to reach out. And if they're not feeling confident, like Ruth said, about coming to a big group, you know, those, the little things that we can do, offering Zoom, offering WhatsApp, makes it easier for people to reach out and to get the support they need from people, and to get what they want off their chest, to talk about how their life's going, to talk about, you know, anything that they want to say.
But I think having Laura here,
it is to relieve.
I think having Laura here has enabled us to connect with younger people in a way that we weren't pre her working here, because, you know, when I phone somebody who's in their 20s, it's a bit like your mum calling, you know.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So
you're like, you don't understand.
Able to connect. Yeah, exactly. But it is, you know, I just think, oh, it's just like me phoning my son or daughter, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that Laura's able to connect on a different level because of the age that she is. But I mean, what it's made us realise is that there needs to be something for younger people. So we're looking at having a young person Zoom.
Yes.
So when I say younger persons, I mean, I'm talking that they'd be maybe under 40. To me, yeah, that's young. Team group.
Yeah.
For younger people, so that, you know, that they're with their as opposed to, you know, a group of older people.
Yeah, they can come in and have a connection with someone that's the same age as them,
which that wouldn't have happened had Laura not been here.
And Laura may not have been here if you hadn't have needed and reached out because of the pandemic. I'm trying to put a positive spin on the pandemic. I don't know if you can tell.
but I think for us that we have made a difference for people.
Yeah.
So we can, just from the positive comments that we have back from people, I mean, just to give you for example, we were given money by the NHS to run some lunches. We actually ran them over 11 weeks. They finished next week. And we've had at Tonic Health, and through the pack up lunches that we've distributed through some food banks, we've given lunches to over 1,000 people. Now, those 1,000 people, it's just a little way of saying we're here, and you know, you're not on your own in this. And for those people that we were making phone calls to, the offer was there: would you like to come into Tonic Health for a lunch? So mm-hmm. we've had people who have been on their own for the last 9 months, who've come into Tonic Health, that are forming friendships, are seeing friends that they haven't seen for nearly a year.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that was lovely. When they first came back, I'd go into the room where the lunches were, and it'd be quite quiet and people weren't talking. But after a few weeks, it was like they'd got back into the swing of things, mm-hmm. chatting to people, and you could hear the laughter, you could hear the noise of people talking. And they all left feeling better than when they came in.
And that's the point.
Every single person said, I feel better for having come here today. And it wasn't about the lunch. It was about being with other people, seeing friendly faces, and actually making not just a virtual connection, but a human connection. A huge boost to people, massive boost to people. I mean, in the year that we're, because it really is only since May, we've made over 1,300 weekly phone calls.
Wow.
So, you know, it is about, you know, connecting to the wider community, and then hopefully over time encouraging those people to come into Tonic, or, you know, if we eventually get to have little satellites, the community connectors where people can actually meet and speak to somebody face to face rather than over the phone or virtually.
And start to build their own confidence back again.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing with pandemic. Obviously, people have been shut away and it eats away your self-esteem and your confidence. Yeah. And it's getting back out there to time. And hopefully through what we do with our phone calls, and we encourage people to come to group.
And I think that helps to build, you know, resilience. Was, you know, when I had many years where I was on my own, just had my own thoughts to keep me company day in and day out. And my head was a toxic environment. I think for a lot of people experience that same thing. They're on their own with these negative thoughts in their head, and you know, just to be able to get out and laugh, and you know, have a conversation with somebody that is actually interested in you,
and that's got the time for you and the wherewithal just to stop and listen. Because I think that's the hardest thing when you try and discuss it with somebody that isn't in a safe place, in the safe place. You know, they can often say very unhelpful things. And I was going to ask you how it's a difficult one, because I feel that there are a lot of people, members of my family included, that have found the pandemic and the isolation actually, they really like it. They're really comfortable being at home all the time. And now they don't go out because they don't like to go out. They've realised that they actually really prefer to be inside and isolated. But of course, long term, that is going to damage them. How do you get to those people? How do these people, do you think, how is their mental health going to change, perhaps for the worse, if they don't start getting out?
I think, well, we're seeing it already. There is definitely going in people reaching out for support because of mental health problems, be it depression, anxiety, or any other mental health condition. I think it's very, I wish I could say, oh, you know, we'll reach all these people. We can't possibly. But you're right in what you say, that people are afraid to go out. They've been in for so long that their homes are now their safe place. That they, you know, the thought of going out and mixing with people is a concern. I think that it's only through, you know, sort of groups like ourselves, connecting with other local community groups. I think that's important, that community groups are talking to each other, you know, so that there can be that cross referral. You know, I've got somebody in Sutton Bridge, maybe they can support them. And it's that really just finding out through social media or through, you know, perhaps another family member or friend who's aware of other organisations or safe places that can put them in touch. But we are, sadly, a lot of people will fall through the gap because they don't know how to reach out. They don't feel confident to reach out. And I, you know, it's, I don't think that all we can do is say, look, we will do all that we can to support people and make sure that as many people know about Tonic Health, know about safe places, and those people who are falling through the gaps that we're missing, not deliberately, but just because of the poor mental health, that there will be somebody in their local community, maybe, you know, their neighbour or a relative, who will bridge that gap and step in and say, you know, look, what can we do to help? Because at the end of the day, we can only do so much. At some point, it does come down to people within their own communities supporting and helping one another.
And also people being ready to accept that support as well, isn't it? Because, say, for example, you felt that, you know, somebody that's become particularly isolated over this period thinks they're quite happy. Oh, I'm staying here forever. I'm doing internet shopping for the rest of my life. I don't need to go out. You know, that's ultimately not survivable. They're going to need contact.
Absolutely.
Maybe even Tonic Talk through this podcast. You know, that might be an even more subtle way to say to somebody, oh, there was this, you know, great podcast on the other day. It was just really interesting, you know, rather than even just giving a telephone number. But I mean, if people did want to get in touch with you, where would they find you?
So if you've got the access to the internet, if you go to www.tonic-health.co.uk, and that details our services. You can phone 01775 725 059. You can contact me directly. My number is 07579 033 3347, or you can email me at safeplaces, that's all one word, at tonic-health.co.uk, or you can reach out to us on our Facebook page, Laura,
Safe Places Facebook page, and you can give that a message if you like and we'll get back to you.
Brilliant.
That's so great, lots of ways to get in touch.
Super. And of course, if someone's listening that feels that someone would benefit from speaking to you guys, maybe just, you know, advise them of our podcast. This is our very first podcast for Tonic Talk. So I'm really, really grateful that you two have come on and you know, really enlightened us on what help is out there, and that people don't need to be alone, and that we've got to keep accepting and connecting with people, regardless of their age, their gender, their mental health. It's about reaching out and knowing that there's somewhere people can go. And I think that's really, really important. I might be popping along to your next one. Sorry. Go on.
No, you'd be more than welcome. There is actually a mental health helpline number, which is not run by Tonic Health. It's an NHS funded mental health helpline. And I can't find the number.
Don't worry. If you want to give me the number,
I've got it.
So I can always read that as part of my.
It's the Lincolnshire Mental Health. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Oh. Go on.
It's the Lincolnshire Mental Health Helpline, and it's available 24/7. The helpline can provide emotional support, advice and guidance to anyone feeling stressed or low or anxious. The members of staff are all highly trained and experienced support workers, and they can offer appropriate level of support. Their number is 0800 001 4331. As I say, that is a 24/7 phone line.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Have you got anything else that you wanted to share that you haven't maybe input so far?
So from April, we're starting Safe Places Boston. That would be from the 22nd of April. We're starting with a meeting group, much like in Spalding. And that will start on the 22nd of April. I think I might have already said that. Sorry. At the end of April at Tonic Health, we're actually starting some meeting groups. On a Monday, we have a Monday morning toast.
So come and have your breakfast with us with a chat and some toast and a cup of tea or coffee,
On a Wednesday, one of our volunteers, Dawn, is going to be running a Bitch and Stitch craft group. And that will run on a Wednesday afternoon.
Can you say that again for me? Because that did sound like Bitch and Stitch, just so you know.
It was Bitch and Stitch, yes.
Oh, it is. Oh, fantastic. I thought, no, we really do probably need to say that again, because that came across. Oh, it is a Bitch and
just
Stitch.
Just to inject a bit of, a little bit of humour.
I think I like Dawn already.
She's lovely. And on Friday, we're going to have coffee with friends. And that'll be on a Friday afternoon. Unfortunately, because of restrictions, people will have to book. But, you know, that's not a problem. If people are interested, got the numbers, the website, just in touch. The more, the merrier.
And we will see new faces.
Yeah.
New people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because everybody's experience is different, as well as connecting.
Very.
So to have something in common, of course, everyone is different and everyone's got something to offer.
Everybody has anxiety. Everybody has that self-doubt.
Yes.
That confidence issue.
Yeah.
And it's combating that. And it was starting to work here. I found my confidence improved because I formed connections.
Yeah.
And you're a different person now than you were when you started in September. Your confidence has grown.
Yeah.
I mean, if when Laura started and I said, oh, by the way, would you like to do a young people's, I say young people, we'll have to think of a different word for that. But a young person's, you know, group, she'd have gone, oh, no. But she's the one who went to Michael and said, oh, I'd like to do a younger person's group, and I'd like to do a young person's Zoom. Great.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you'd call them.
It's just about finding people that's going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Just not old group.
The young'uns, the little'uns.
Yeah, the little ones. I think if you can think of anything, then I'll be open to suggestions, Amber.
Or maybe we'll put it out there on our maybe we'll put it out there on our podcast then. What do we call that generation of sort of 18 to 30, you know?
Yeah, I think it's because we did think 18 to 30 and it had all of those images of 18 to 30 clubbing holidays.
Oh, yeah, in Ibiza, yeah. It's a tricky one, though, because actually I think 18 to 21 is kind of a massive leap. I mean, you grow so much.
Yes.
And to have a group that goes 18 to 40 actually might well be counterproductive, because I don't have anything in common with an 18-year-old.
No.
You know, and yet I'm only just outside of the 40 group. But maybe the 30 to 40, because that's a life
Stint,
isn't it? You know, it's almost,
yeah, you're right, yeah.
And then maybe the sort of 25 to 30, the 20 to 25, it's a different one, but you could almost do it in smaller sessions because there'd be less people, but by offering a much more direct, because I always find, especially with when I was teaching, you know, trying to diversify for a massive group who need so many different things is really tricky, and you miss people. You know, whereas if you were to have those five together who pretty much got most of their learning in common, you know, it would have been much easier to manage.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure what you call them. Maybe call them like they do ballet classes, and call them the daisies, the tulips. The
Think of something.
Yeah.
But there is a need, and that's become obvious in the number of people sort of between that 18 to 30 age group, the referrals that have come through.
Yeah.
We want to be accessible to everybody, not just a certain age range. So
that's it. And that's why I was trying to make you a bit more present, just purely because, not to frighten the life out of you, I did realize I was scaring you, but I just thought, I need you to be
easily scared.
Integral to it, because there will be a large portion of the community that feel like that sort of thing's for people. You know, it's for older people that get divorced or have been beaten up by their partners, or, you know, or have suffered grief. And actually, I'm 18. What have I got to moan about? You know, but there's a whole different level of mental health at that age. And you wouldn't counsel an 18-year-old the same way as you would counsel a 36-year-old. So,
no.
You know, so therefore, and it's the demographic, isn't it? You know, it's round here who needs that support. It's just so enlightening for me, because it's just not something you see. You guys see.
No.
That whole proportion of people that keep to themselves.
Young people don't reach out in the same way. You know, they don't necessarily chat to their parents. They're more likely, girls are more likely to talk to their girlfriends. Guys aren't necessarily likely to talk to anyone. And I mean, in that, I think, is it that the 20 to 45 suicide in men is the highest cause of death?
Is it still like that? Because I genuinely thought that as we went through the generations, that would change, because I don't know any 18-year-old who's frightened to cry if he's upset about something. You know, I just, but then maybe I don't mix with those sorts of people. You know, it's sad.
I think, unfortunately, there's still that stigma.
Yeah.
There's still that awful stigma around mental health, isn't there? So people just cower away from standing and saying, I need a bit of help. I just need somebody to talk to, because nobody's really, and nobody's understanding, and I'm feeling down. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's that, it's difficult, because I think people are talking about it more and it is out in the public domain, well, 100% more.
Yeah, almost 100% more.
Yeah, but it's still that stigma.
Do you think potentially there's this area particularly is quite... for want of a better word, backward in their thinking for that sort of thing. You think that I could turn around to an employee that I was working for in, I don't know, Spalding Council and say, I need a mental health day. Whereas in a big company in London or in Birmingham or in Sheffield, they might go, ah, oh, right, okay, yep, yep, yep. I think here you'd still get the, you know, and one of the terms I can't stand, and I know Kenny feels the same, is that snowflake, you know, that, oh, flaky, they can't, oh, yeah, sometimes she just doesn't turn up and blah, blah, blah. Rather than always giving people the benefit of the doubt, they're quite behind in that sense.
I mean, it's the same when people say, oh, I suffer with anxiety, and people go, oh, yeah, I get anxious.
Yeah.
And they get anxious about, you know, it might just be just worried about happening work or, but when people really experience high levels of anxiety, that feeling never goes. It's with you from the moment that you wake up in the morning, when you wake up in the night, when you go to bed, it's there all the time, this gut-wrenching feeling of anxiety. And it, again, it's that, oh, it's anxiety. It's dismissed because it's not really seen to be that bad, because we all have anxiety.
Yeah, but also it's people walk around and get on with their day-to-day lives, and we're very good at putting up a front, and so you don't know who's suffering. I think I would probably walk into safe places and see at least one person in there, or maybe if I saw the 103 people that you've now brilliantly managed to connect with, there'll be a name on there that I'll go, whoa, you know. Not that I would. I appreciate that it's all.
No, I know what you're saying, though.
I'm not saying from a data protection point of view, but for some, you never know, do you? And I found myself saying to my neighbour the other day, you know, he said, oh, my partner's, getting anxious about work because she's going back, because obviously it was the schools when everyone was going back on the 8th of March. And I just said to him, I said, but I know you don't understand it. I said, because you're always, you know, oh, I'm all right, you know, and you don't. And then I thought, my God, you can't say that to somebody. You can't assume that they get on and they don't, suffer with their own internal struggle. That's wrong of me, you know, and that's with my own experience of it. But you imagine people that haven't had any experience of it at all. They're ignorant, if for want of a better word, you know, unintentionally in most cases. So I suppose anybody listening to this podcast and what you guys are saying, hopefully, are going to experience that. Maybe they've not noticed their neighbour across the road, but maybe they might now, you know, which is kind of, so it's all lending itself to the same solution, isn't it? Not that we're going to solve it, but it's all giving people that access to a bit more knowledge.
Yeah.
To save them from being ignorant. Don't be ignorant that, you know who's mentally ill and who's not, or whose well-being is greater. No, well, it's been very interesting. I'm glad myself to know a bit more about what you guys do, because I have always wondered. I know I've spoken with you before, Ruth, about something unrelated. I tell you, if I had have had a service like that when I was suffering in my late teens, I might have got through the right channels at the right time. But 25 years ago, they weren't the channels they are now.
No.
And yours is just a really good start, you know.
Thank you.
Well, it's lovely to speak to you, and hopefully we can catch up.
Yeah, and Amber, thanks ever place so much. Or whatever.
Not at all. See you soon then. All right, guys, bye. So I hope you've enjoyed our first podcast. I know I certainly have. It was great speaking to Laura and Ruth today. Thank you. And just to remind you, if you need someone to talk to, you don't have to be in crisis. But there's the Lincolnshire Mental Health Helpline. That's 24/7 service. They're trained staff and they are there for you on 0800 00 14 331. So that just leaves me to finish off with a quick story about a random act of kindness. And if you've experienced a random act of kindness, please email us at Tonic Talk. And if we can, we'll include it in one of our podcasts. This is a story that my friend told me the other day. A couple of years ago, she was out with her ex-partner and her child. And her ex-partner has unfortunately become blind through diabetes. And as he exited the car, he had a disorientation moment and fell. Now, he's quite a tall guy, and she was not going to be able to manage on her own. Luckily, a gentleman came running out of the post office to help and lifted him. He handed her his card and signed it, put his mobile telephone number on it, and said, if you ever need any help, please just call this number. He was a stranger to her, but then she realised who it was. It was Benjamin Zephaniah. Benjamin describes himself on his website as a poet, writer, lyricist, musician, and naughty boy. He is nationally renowned for his phenomenal poetry, and this is one of his amazing poems.
People need people. To walk to talk to cry and rely on, people will always need people. To love and to miss, to hug and to kiss, it's useful to have other people. To whom will you moan if you're all alone? It's so hard to share when no one is there. There's not much to do when there's no one but you. People will always need people. To please, to tease, to put you at ease, people will always need people. To make life appealing and give life some meaning, it's useful to have other people. If you need a change, to whom will you turn? If you need a lesson, from whom will you learn? If you need to play, you'll know why I say, people will always need people. As girlfriends, as boyfriends, from Bombay to Ostend, people will always need people. To have friendly fights with and share tasty bites with, it's useful to have other people. People live in families, gangs, posses and packs. It seems we need company before we relax. So stop making enemies and let's face the facts. People will always need people. Yes, people will always need people.